If you'd like to turn, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 1 to 15. So we've been working our way through the Gospel of John. So John chapter 6, 1 to 15. Okay, so imagine with me our next church lunch. First Sunday of July, I guess. We've got our food ready. We've got the plates and the salt and pepper, Davey. We've got the tea and coffee. We've got extra people, though, start to show up. At first, you know, it's a handful of guests, and then more and more keep coming, and there's like dozens and dozens of people coming in the door. And then there's like hundreds of people coming in, and the car park is filling up, and there's a queue going out the door all the way down the main street. There's thousands of people coming in. They all want some lunch. And we've got like, and we've got, you know, a couple of crock pots. Naranza brought some chicken. Valerie brought some cheesecake. Gracie brought those lovely little chocolate treats. But it's not like, not nearly enough. Right? So now imagine somebody comes up to you and all of this is going on and somebody says to you, okay, well, so how are you going to feed everybody? What do you say to them? Probably like, you're crazy. That's impossible. I mean, even if we clear out Centra, probably not enough food for everybody. And in one way, it would be really wonderful if thousands of people turned up. Suddenly a church, but we would definitely struggle with the logistics, especially for a church lunch. But our passage in the Gospel of John today, this is what happens. Jesus tells his disciples to feed a crowd of thousands, an unexpected crowd. And they simply do not have the means to do it. And it might seem a bit unfair for Jesus to put them in this kind of impossible situation. But we'll see that Jesus' intention is not to just give them impossible commands. His intention is to show them that what is impossible for them is possible for him, that he can provide when they cannot. So it's not just about the food. It's not just about the hungry people or some logistical nightmare. This is about learning who has the power to provide for us in all ways, for all needs. It's about learning to trust him when he tells us to do things that are actually not possible for us to do in our own strength. And that's really important for us today, because if we look honestly at our own needs, if we look honestly at what God asks us to do in his word, we're going to find out very quickly we don't have the strength we need in ourselves. So this passage is much more than just a random historical event or a very impressive dinner party. This is a picture of our own lives, of our own need for the Lord, our own dependence on the Lord. It's an important display of Jesus's power to provide. So let's read John 6, starting in verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side, the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. What I want you to see this morning is that the focus of this passage is not on the greatness of the need. Even though there was a huge crowd, they were hungry. The focus is not on the impossibility of the situation, the financial constraints, the kind of unworkable logistics. The focus is not on the limitations of the disciples or the boy with a lunch that was just ludicrously small to feed a crowd of this size. None of these things actually matter in the end. Because the focus of the passage is on Jesus. And Jesus changes absolutely everything about this event. So we need to pay attention. The same dynamic is true for us as well. We need to learn not to focus primarily on the need, however, whatever it is, in us or around us, or the impossibility, however great it is, or even our own limitations, however big they are. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus, our Savior, our Provider, who is above every need, every impossibility, every limitation. We've got to focus on him. So that's really our outline this morning. First, don't focus on the need. Second, don't focus on the impossibility. You probably get the sense of where this is going. Third, don't focus on your limitations. Finally, most importantly, do focus on Jesus. Simple enough, but very important. So, don't focus on the need. It sounds nice to say, don't just focus on the need, but it's not very easy to do, especially when the need is very great. As it was here, far side of the Sea of Galilee, thousands of people gathered to see Jesus. Verse 2 says, they've come because they saw signs he had performed already, healing the sick. They saw his power displayed. They wanted to see more of that. They probably came with their own needs. There were probably sick people among them who wanted to be healed. There were probably other needs as well. And we hear of this huge crowd, 5,000 men, it says. So with the women and children as well, you're talking probably many thousands more. I think one of the reasons why we hear how many men there are is because later on they try to make Jesus king by force. And when you hear there's 5,000 men, that's like a small army. But this also shows just how enormous the crowd was. In verse 5, Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus sees the needs of people, they're hungry. He cares about their needs. That's wonderful. But can you imagine being Philip in this situation? I mean, you're watching thousands and thousands of people gather. There's no event management plans in place, no porta potties, no catering companies. Jesus is asking them to meet this need, to feed this crowd. And Philip is in shock. He's overwhelmed by the size of the need. And that's understandable. But what he's about to be overwhelmed by actually is something else. He's about to be overwhelmed by Jesus and his power to provide. But the reason Jesus asked Philip where they can get food is not just because Jesus is trying to, you know, figure out what to do himself. It says in verse 6, he asked this only to test him. He already had in mind what he was going to do. What is Jesus testing here? I think he's wondering if Philip will focus on the need and be overwhelmed by it, or if he'll actually focus on Jesus. Because Philip has already seen Jesus do many miracles, hasn't he? He's seen Jesus heal the sick. He's seen Jesus even turn water into wine. So the test is, will Philip apply his knowledge about Jesus to this need? When he sees this massive need and hears Jesus' question, "How will you provide for these people?" Where will he look for answers? He's seen all the things that Jesus has done in the past, but will he apply that to this time? And that's not so easy to do, is it? It's much easier to think, oh yes, God has done these things in the past for me. But then when a new need comes up, the hard part is, will we apply that knowledge of what God does to this need? The one that's pressing on us right now. Will Philip look to Jesus, or will he try some other solution, or just despair? And I think his response is basically to just be completely overwhelmed, the impossibility of meeting this need. And I mean, often we would see things the same way, don't we? We look at the world horizontally, We forget to factor God into the situation. Maybe we see relationships that just seem too broken to ever be repaired. Maybe we see habits of sin in our lives that just seem too strong to break, too entrenched to overcome. Maybe our circumstances just seem too out of control. We can't imagine how any good could ever come out of the things that we see happening. Maybe we look around at all the people around us, the friends and family, co-workers, neighbors, and we hear Jesus say to go and bring his love, his provision of salvation to them, but the needs just seem so big, so deep, so overwhelming. And when you look further at the rest of the world, we were praying about the wars and things going on and the news that we hear, it just all seems too much. Well, it is, actually. It is too much, way too much for you. Just like feeding thousands and thousands of people was way too much for Philip. But Jesus' goal was not to say to Philip, oh, you can do this. It was to get them to stop focusing on the size of the need and their own ability to provide, and to learn instead to focus on the power and authority of Jesus and his ability. So don't focus on the need, but also don't focus on the impossibility. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have just a bite. I mean, you're talking about a small fortune just to whet everyone's appetite. I don't know. Like, I feel like one bite of food when you're hungry is probably worse than having no food at all. Just kind of a tease. Just gets your hopes up. And even if they had enough money, where would they find bread, you know, on the far side of the sea? I don't think the village bakers in that area were expecting to be filling these kinds of orders. They weren't planning for it. In other words, like, they could actually put everything they have into this, and it still wouldn't even be close to being enough. Philip is being a realist, I suppose. And in one sense, he's right, looking at things on the surface. Without factoring in Jesus, he's 100% correct, but that's why he's wrong. He thinks he's being a realist, but he's leaving out the most important part of reality, which is Jesus. But have you ever come to that place, the place where you say, you know, I could actually give literally everything I have to this, and it would still not be enough? I think if we're honest, that we come to that more often than we'd like to admit. I mean, you can buy bags and t-shirts and stuff that say, I am enough, right? Those are popular. And that's a nice saying, but saying it doesn't actually make it true when the needs are so much greater than we are. I'm not actually enough to meet every need that I see around me. I'm not enough to meet the needs for the people that I love. I'm not enough to meet the needs for the people just here in the room. There are needs here that I would love to meet, but I can't. There's so many things so far beyond my control. I can't even meet my own needs properly. Not my deepest, not my most significant needs. I mean, the greatest need of my own heart is to have the life that only God can give, to become exactly what he made me to be. But my heart is wrong. My sin is there. It's wrong. And I'm on my own. I could literally give everything I have to try to make those things happen, and it wouldn't be enough. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's me. I have to admit, I'm not enough on my own to save myself, to do what needs to be done in my heart, in my life. I can't even meet my own needs. So what about everybody else's needs around me? How do I even begin? But here's the thing. Don't focus on the need. Don't focus on the impossibility. Jesus can do what we cannot. He lived and died and rose again to provide what we could not provide for ourselves. Complete forgiveness through his death in our place for our sin. And completely new life through the power of his resurrection. His own righteousness growing in our hearts by faith, given as a gift, powered by the Spirit of God himself. No need could be greater than our need for God. No need was more impossible for us to meet. No provision is greater than Jesus' provision of salvation for those who put their trust in him. We sang just a little while ago with all the claps, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is himself the great provision, greater than the bread that we depend on for life. We depend on him even more. He provides for us. He says that later in this chapter. So now, if we're trusting him, we don't have to focus on the need. We don't have to focus on the impossibility. We also don't have to focus on our own limitations. Look in verse 8. The response of Andrew to this situation is a little bit different than Philip. Verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? The need is for food. Andrew does find a bit of food, but it's not nearly enough. But it is something. And here's something else. The boy is willing to give it. He's ready to let his lunch that, I don't know, he packed or his mom packed. Anyway, it was supposed to feed him. And he's ready to let that go for the good of others. And that's something. But what good can it actually do? I mean, it's way too small. I mean, ludicrously too small. But he still brings it to Jesus. I wonder, have you ever felt that what you have to offer the Lord is just too small to do any good? I mean, the needs in the world are far too big. The needs in our own community are far too big. The needs in our own church, in our own families, even in our own hearts are too big. Yes, God has given us some strength. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us provision and resources. But oh my goodness, it all just seems so small compared to the size of the needs. What is even the point of bringing something so tiny to a need so great? But your limitations are not actually the point. Yes, you have them. They are real. They are significant. Your strength only goes so far. Your resources, your time, your energy, your abilities, your training, your love, all of it is limited. Actually, really limited. That's true, but it's just not the point. We've got to refocus. We've got to bring those limitations to Jesus and see what he will do with them. Never mind the size of the need. Never mind the impossibility. Never mind how small you are. Stop fixating on yourself and the needs around you and start focusing on Jesus. That's our last point. Focus on Jesus. Verse 10, Jesus says, have the people sit down. Disciples don't know what's going on at this stage. They're probably wondering, what is Jesus about to do? But they listen, they obey, the people sit down, probably wondering what on earth he's thinking. Verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. There it is. More than enough for everyone. And how did it come? It didn't come through the planning and provision of the disciples. It didn't come through the greatness of their abilities and their ingenuity. It came from Jesus. He is the one who is able to provide for this need. He is able to overcome the impossibility. He is able to multiply this tiny, very, very limited gift, this little tiny offering of one boy. He's able to multiply it into provision for this huge crowd with 12 full baskets of leftovers. That means there's way more after every need has been provided than there was even before the needs were provided. That's how abundant his provision is. It even goes beyond the impossible need. And yet he says, I think this is interesting. He says, you know, let nothing be wasted. So his provision is so abundant, but it's not wastefully abundant. He uses it all. The food continues to provide for people. I think 12 is a significant number as well. it's the number of the tribes of Israel. So it's saying that God's ability is he can provide for all of his people, abundantly for all of his people. But the point of the miracle was not just to feed people, although it did meet a need there. It was to help them see, though, really, who Jesus really is. To focus on him, to trust him, not only with their hunger, but with every need, especially their need for salvation. As he points out later in the chapter, we'll get there. And it looks like the people begin to respond well in verse 14. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who's to come into the world." And they're right. They correctly identify Jesus as the prophet. This is a reference to a specific prophecy, actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses is speaking to Israel, and Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Okay, so a prophet like Moses. What did Moses do? He gave the law. He delivered people out of slavery. Along the way, God also provided manna, a kind of daily bread for Israel. So the people see Jesus miraculously providing bread and they say, "Oh, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. We know about this. Moses did that." So, and he did say another prophet like him was coming, so this must be it. And there's great excitement. But then look at verse 15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So here's the thing. Jesus really is the prophet like Moses, but in a much, much greater way. He delivers us from a greater slavery to sin. He gives us a greater law. All of it is greater. He really is the greater provider as well. He really is the true king over all things. This crowd is right to recognize that kingship. But Jesus withdraws. He doesn't let them come and make him king. And I think he withdraws because he is not willing to be king on their terms. They had very different expectations about what that kingship would do and mean for them. And Jesus is not willing to be king on their terms. He's going to be king on his term. Now, our king, Jesus, can deliver. He can provide whenever and wherever and however he pleases. There is no need that is too great. There is no impossibility too big. There is no limitation too hard to work with. Our King is bigger than all of that. But he doesn't always provide his provision, his deliverance, and all of these things in the ways that we'd expect. He doesn't always do it in the ways that we want. This crowd wanted a steady supply of bread. They wanted a political leader to lead them. I mean, the steady supply of bread, that would certainly ease the family budget. It'd be kind of nice. But Jesus doesn't provide that for them. He meets the immediate need. He shows them who he is. And actually, he's providing for a much deeper need that they weren't even paying attention to. He's going to the cross for their sin. They're not even paying attention to that need. They're just worried about where they're going to get more bread. So today, when we bring our needs, our impossibilities to Jesus, we need to bring them with open hands. Yes, he can meet those needs. He can. He will in his own way, in his own time. But he may have different ways, different times. He may have different priorities in his provision than we do. For example, I mean, we usually focus on the external needs. But Jesus also, he sees those needs, he cares about them, but he also cares deeply about the needs of our hearts, what's going on inside of us. And at times, he waits to meet the external need while he's dealing with needs on the inside of us. That's one example, but I mean, he could be doing many, many things all at once in the way that he provides, in the time that he provides, and many things that we may not even be paying attention to. So our job is to let him be king in the way he wants to be king, his own way, not to make demands on him how he ought to be using his power, how he ought to be meeting our needs. But we can also come to him in confidence. We can come because we know our king will provide. He promised. And he has all the power and authority he needs to ensure that every one of his good and gracious promises will be fulfilled for his people. And you can step out in confidence on those promises today. Yes, there are needs all around us. There are needs inside us that are bigger than we are. That is not the point. Don't focus on the need in itself. Jesus said, go out into all the nations and make disciples. Go out and be holy. Be a city on a hill, a lamp on a stand. Shine with God's love to everyone around us. And how on earth are we supposed to do that? That's not the point. Don't focus on how dark the world is, how deep the problems are, how strong our own sin is. Don't focus on the impossibility of anything could ever change, that hard hearts could ever come back to God, the relationships could ever be restored, that long-standing habits of sin could ever be overcome. Don't focus on the impossibility of those things. They are impossible for us. But don't focus on your own limitations. It's not you who's going to provide for the needs of the world. It's not you who can even save yourself or anyone else. But Jesus can. And he might just have given you your little small lunch for that very purpose. Your few little loaves of bread, your couple of fish, your limited abilities, your limited opportunities, your faltering efforts, your small strength. It's a gift from the Lord. And if you offer it to him just as it is, as limited and small as it is, and tiny as it seems, comparison to the needs in you and around you, Jesus can multiply that in ways that you can never even imagine. But our job is to keep our focus on Jesus, to bring everything we have to him, and to step out in obedience to his commands on the strength of his promises. And then we will see him provide in his way and his time. Amen. I just want to close our service with a benediction that I think is appropriate as we think about these things. Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our service is closed, but we do have tea and coffee, so if you'd like to stick around, please do.